his Bumgarner looked like he'd knock your block off.
But that wasn't your first thought when you saw him on the mound. You know, yeah. a lot of people don't realize like when you talk about Rick Ankiel, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you remember Rick Ankiel.
Yeah.
Rick Ankiel was one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball until he got the yips on the mound and just couldn't throw the baseball at home anymore.
Yeah.
And guess what? He became one of the top batters in the league for a few seasons. Why? Because he went back to doing what he always did.
There's always an exception to the rule, Trap, but for the most part, pitchers can't hit. Just let them focus on pitching. I'm all for that. Now, listen, another rule change, and that's something that they put into place before coronavirus hit, but they're continuing with it, is all relief pitchers must face a minimum of 3 batters, of course, unless an inning ends. That is a complete game changer.
Yeah,
you're talking about managers having to figure out when to go with a guy that's going to get the lefty out. Like this, there's going to be rules to this, and people are going to get taken advantage of, and people that figure it out the right way to do it and capitalize on it are going to be able to make some huge strides. This is a big deal for Major League Baseball.
Oh, I agree. I think it's going to be to have to face 3 batters. One, I think it's going to drive Dave Roberts bananas. You know what I mean? Because Dave Roberts is the king of, let me pitch. I'm going to pitch one pitch to this guy. Let's give me the lefty. What?
Yeah.
Like, you cost us a championship wasting our bullpen like that. Dude, so, I mean, and because they cheated. But outside of that, you know, you wasted the bullpen twice. You know, you did what you shouldn't have done. And, I mean, when they – I get frustrated thinking about it because I hate the way he manages our pitchers, especially in crunch time or towards the end of ball games. I don't mind it early in games except for when we got a guy that's got a hot hand and all of a sudden you take him out because the book says so.
Yeah.
You know, the book says I should stay on 15, you know, but she's showing a 6. And all of a sudden she flips over and she has a 4 under there. And next you know she turns over 8, everybody loses. Every now and then you gotta change it up.
You gotta switch it up every now and again. Another thing that is kind of an interesting nuance to Major League Baseball as it comes back, 60 game season, of course. Playoffs will be normal, but the schedule will be regionally based, with teams playing 40 games within the division and 20 interleague games against the corresponding geographical division. That means the Houston Astros and the LA Dodgers are going to get all the smoke that they want amongst each other, each other. But is that fair? Is that because there are certain teams like the Yankees? Who do the Yankees have to play out east in their geographical region that you say going to give them a hell of a run?
Nobody.
So that's going to affect the records potentially, right?
It will.
And so to me, I understand why they're doing it. But when you talk about the playing field being level and fair, by doing the geographical setting deal, that's not going to be necessarily
–
it's not going to be fair for everybody. Some people are going to get the short end of the stick. And so
it'll
be interesting to see how much of a change that does one way or the other. It's just going to be interesting how it shakes out.
They would have been better off playing Cactus League ball. Like, they would have been better off playing in Tampa, in Orlando. And, you know, like, they would have been better off playing it how they do spring ball and say, you know what, let's just keep it that way, you know, because then we can determine it that way.
Yeah.
But now you're going to sit there and say, let's play regional ball. Okay, now the Dodgers got to see the Angels. The Dodgers got to see the Giants. The Dodgers got to see these people. And technically, Chicago's the Midwest, right? So they got to see the Cubs. They got to see, the Yankees got to see the Nationals.
The Nationals ain't the Nationals, though.
They're
lost
Rendon.
They're not quite the same team. But they're not the same.
No, they got to see the Nationals.
But
they got to see the Phillies.
Yeah, you look at the Astros and the Dodgers having to play each other. Like, yo, that's two heavyweight teams
they gotta pay each other a bunch of times.
Yeah, it's not commensurate to fair play across the board. But hey, it is what it is. You gotta tool up, line up, and play. And I'm looking forward to see what they do. Another interesting thing that's coming from Major League Baseball is this: teams are going to have a 30-man roster, a pool of guys that they can pull from. If you catch corona, 2 weeks, you done.
Done for the whole season.
It's going to be so important with the lack of people and resources you get to pull from and the amount of time that if you catch it and you're out and the amount of people that potentially could get quarantined, you have to be disciplined and make sure you keep yourself out of catching the virus. Because even if it doesn't make you sick, it can ruin your season if you catch it. If the right people on your team, or depending on perspective, the wrong people get it, it can ruin a season before it gets started.
I think, you know, and as you know, the guy we had on earlier was John.
John Hammond, right? John Hammond. MLB Insider.
I think John made a very valid point. Like, for the guys, for those AAA, AA guys who aren't on the 40-man, who are guys who could potentially get called up, who are not on the 30-man either, I think you look to your teammates and say, hey, guys, listen, all right, you know, maybe we can't afford to do it all, you know, whatever have you, but how about we try to be as much quarantined together as possible so then we can still technically play baseball. We'll just, you know, it might be three teams to stay near each other, like in the city, and say, you know what, we all got a little bit of money. Let's put it together. Let's rent us a couple houses so we stay together. And we can stay on top of it and play baseball all year round. So when they call, because guess what? It's going to be a couple guys that buck the system and that decide, you know, I'm going to keep training, or I'm going to figure out a way to play baseball right now. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to be the same guys that every team in the league is going to be salivating in the mouth when they need a guy to come, when they need a guy for 15 days.
Yeah.
When they need a guy for a month-long contract, which, I mean, it's half a season, really. But, and then, you know, I still wonder how.
A month long is half the year, bro.
That's nuts.
This is crazy. I'm excited, but.
That's nuts.
I don't know how it's going to really shake out.
When it
really goes through and we see it, we're going to be like, damn, it's over already? We just started. And here's, I didn't get a chance to pitch the bat.
Here's the thing, which I got a problem with the owners, because think about that. 2 months is the baseball season.
That's it.
I think that's foul. Like, end of the day is, like, baseball season doesn't end till like October.
Yeah.
Baseball, normal baseball season doesn't end until October. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me right now that you could only get in 70 games or 60 games.
Well, see, the way my bank account is set up, that's what they hit him with the Kevin Hart. That's why
I don't know if baseball fully recovers, even though nobody's gonna be in the stands or whatever have you.
Yeah,
I don't know if baseball ever recovers, because the everyday fan who knows baseball and can do 1 + 1 = 2, and they don't think it equals 3. I think those guys are gonna realize, this was a money grab by the owners.
I think they realize it already, and we're going to see what comes of it. But Major League Baseball is back. I'm excited. Hopefully y'all are excited about it. Astros got as good a chance as anybody at getting back to the World Series, and we'll be here to watch it, man. Now, listen, boxing, live boxing has been on for a couple of weeks now, and last night I saw a boxer get emotional before a match, and the reason why will be intriguing, and you want to stay tuned to hear what that's all about. Coming up next.
It hurts me when I heard the news. He called me. He actually called me this morning and told me, I just told him I'm going to do my thing and I'm going to get in there and get busy. And when I heard the news, when my dad told me, I won't be in the corner because I came down without a mask and I heard him. I'm going to do it.
Do it for him.
That was Jose Vargas.
Michael, stop teasing.
He was crying.
Tito, give
me
some
tissue. He was
emotional.
But I'm going to tell you why he was emotional. This is Wade Smith and Travis Johnson filling in for Clint Stern and Ron Show Hughley. He was emotional because his father, the guy that he trained with for years, ever since he became a boxer and his corner man, was disqualified from participating in his match, his bout that he had going on ESPN last night. It was a good fight. It was a good opportunity, great opportunity for him to get his name out there. And he couldn't have his dad with him because his dad was in the hotel and there was a certain floor that was quarantined in the hotel. And so it said, if you leave this floor, you have to wear a mask. And if you don't wear a mask and you leave this floor, you're disqualified from coming into our event because we're trying to keep a bubble, which I understand. Rules are the rules in this case because you're trying to keep guys from spreading the virus. Well, his dad, and I don't know how old his dad was, but if he's anything like my dad or anything like me, he probably forgot. He probably went downstairs because somebody called. He went down to the lobby to meet somebody. He forgot to bring his mask. Somebody saw he left his floor, the quarantine floor, went down into the lobby without a mask on. And because of that, he was no longer able to be in the corner for his son. And good thing for the son, he went out there, won a unanimous decision convincingly against his opponent, which was great for him. But this brings up a great point to what's going to go on in professional sports, NFL, Major League Baseball, not quite as much in NBA, but probably NBA as well, that you following and staying in line with the procedures and protocols is going to be tantamount to you having a successful SAC season word. And a successful year as a professional athlete and as a franchise. Guys are going to have to buy in and be smart about what they do. And I wanted to ask you, Trap, because you know, like I know, being in the locker room as an NFL player for all the years that we played, you played, I think, what, nine?
I wish,
seven years. I played 12. Like, that's a long time being in NFL locker rooms, and you get into certain habits, and you're used to doing things a certain way. If you put yourself in the shoes of the guys that are getting ready to play right now, all the procedures and protocols that they're putting in place, what type of, if any, pushback would you have as Travis Johnson playing in the NFL trying to figure out a way to play amongst a pandemic?
The hardest part, like the pushback, I mean, really, is just getting out of your routines because you got to remember when football season starts, what do you do every Thursday? D-line, O-line,
going out
DB,
to eat.
Go out to eat. You can't do that.
Steakhouse is all, it ain't no.
You know what I'm saying?
Thursday night, like, dinners,
Thursday
is
night
gone.
Dinners is gone.
We're going to talk through this and we're going to run through some scenarios that I didn't think about
yet. Thursday night dinner is gone. You know,
you got to do it at the.
It's now you do it at the facility. You can do it at the facility one of the guys got to cook.
But even then, you really can't do it. They're probably going to have it inside of facilities where you can't be sitting in the cafeteria close to one another. They're going to spread guys apart.
But you sit, I mean, one thing, the beauty of the Texas facility is you can always sit in the park. Like you can do a barbecue in the parking lot,
no question.
I mean, we did the barbecue in that parking lot. Yeah. We done barbecued a whole lot in that parking lot.
No question. So
you can always wheel a grill in there.
That might be the go-to move.
And let somebody throw down on a Thursday. You know what I mean? Like, you got to think, you come in the building. What time we come in the building on Thursday?
I mean, it all depends. We got to
watch film sessions. I mean, if 4 or 5. So I used to be in the building.
6:30, 6 o'clock, yeah. 7 o'clock at the latest, somewhere around there.
So I used to be in the building probably about 4:45 when Scanini used to come in there, right?
Scanini was always the first one.
Yeah, trying to be cool in there. And then, you know, ask cool, like, dang, man, you run a little late today, huh?
Yeah.
Cool ain't like that. But, you know, you plug the Traeger in and let that thing go to work the whole 20 hours while you at the job. And then when you get out, okay, regular nighttime practice. Okay, now the barbecue ready. You know what I'm saying? You got Herb right down the street. Let me call
Ray's
and have Ray's. Hey, man, pull up to the parking lot, man. We want you to pull up. If it take you the night before, however you cook your stuff,
yeah,
pull up that day. Park one of the little mobile grills.
You can't play dominoes, though.
You know what I'm saying?
We used to play dominoes, cards, all that stuff. It's going to be a lot of differences this season. Compared to last,
I guess they got to take the Xbox out of the player lounge.
I mean, I think anything that fosters congregation is going to have to be eliminated.
But here's the issue. I ain't think about this.
Yeah, it's coming.
Cold tub, hot tub.
One at a time. Sanitize. Like, think about that. Cold tub, hot tub is an integral part of getting yourself prepared to practice and play. For sure, practice every day.
Play, too. I used to hot tub, cold tub before games.
See, I can't hot tub before the game. I feel like
I wouldn't sit in the hot tub.
Unless I had an injury. If I had something that needed to get warmed up,
I contrast
Yeah, you got a contract.
Before I would contract, yeah. I would hot, heat cold.
Yeah.
To kind of bring my legs back a little bit. Cool. And I finish on the cold and relax for a little. And, but I always, you can't do that one at a time on game day.
Gonna have to. You need to come in on a schedule.
Nah.
You get 10 minutes in the season. They're gonna have to put a schedule on the board.
What time you want?
You got 2 minute window. You miss your window, the next person up.
Cause you imagine that. No, and mind you now, you remember guys do 20 minutes in the cold tub.
Answer me this: big vets gonna punk rookies?
Oh, no question.
They miss their time and be like, "Rookie, you gotta move around."
Hey, move around. Before I cough on you, move around. Unless you want to miss the rest of the season.
I mean. And a lot of the stuff we're talking about now is stuff that's going on inside the locker room. What about leaving the locker room and going home? How would it affect you personally?
Well, I think
the way that you would have to conduct yourself as a professional. You're a pro, and guys are counting on you not bringing nothing back up to the facility.
Well, one, you can't hit the streets like you would probably normally do on a random day, like after a D-line, O-line dinner.
Yeah.
You can't go out and say, you know what? Let's go to Onyx. You know what I'm saying? Let's go here. Let's go there. You're like, man, I need to go home. You know what I'm saying?
Straight home.
I need to go straight home. But here's the kicker. When you think about some guys whose spouse works.
Yeah.
And they're going to work every day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's a couple guys in the league married to doctors. It's married to nurses that are married, that are married
in the
to
medical field.
People in the medical field.
Shout out to the people in the medical field that's holding us down during this pandemic.
And
man,
now,
they're doing a great job.
You go home to see your significant other.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, here's the thing. I hate when they be like, oh, we're taking your temperature. Everybody's body runs different regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, everybody, you know, you can have it and temperature ain't never going over 97.3 or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's no foolproof method.
No.
But taking the temperature will, if you have a temperature, you can eliminate some people that possibly might come in.
Of course. So. But I think the biggest thing is going to be is not just quarantining yourself, but your family. Because when you go home to your wife and kids, and your wife and kids are home, like, they can't have been, they couldn't have went to, like, Joe Blow's bounce house party.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't have gone to, and my kids.
Daycare, schools, all the different places are havens for germs.
Exactly.
Now, fortunately, everybody's dealing with the same pandemic, so you have to hope and expect these other entities are using social distancing as well. But that is something that you gotta figure out.
Bro, I just 2 minutes ago got invited to a crawfish boil.
On 4th of July?
Is 4th of July Saturday? I don't know what Saturday or what.
Today is the 1st and it's Wednesday. I don't know. It's coming up Friday or Saturday.
Friday or Saturday. I think
it's Saturday. 4th of July is Saturday, right?
Okay, Saturday, I guess.
2, 3, 4. Yeah, Saturday. Yeah.
So,
I got invited to a barbecue as well.
I'm not going.
It's outside.
Now,
outside barbecue, outside crawfish boil.
Who invited you?
I'm not going to say names.
Because it's probably Ray's.
I'm not going to say who it is and who it ain't.
What was I saying?
You got invited to a crawfish boil.
Okay, yeah, I got invited to the crawfish boil, but I'm not going because think about.
You're not going now or you're not going if you're playing? Or both?
Both. B-O-U-F.
I thought it was B-O-F-F.
B-O-U-F, both.
Okay. Either way works. I like B-O-F-F, though. But
you know,
going.
I'm not doing it, man, because yesterday, Buster Davis. You remember Buster Davis?
A little short
linebacker. Got drafted by Harry, played at Florida State.
Buster's
wife and his son was driving through. And he called me like a week ago. It was like, or not even a week ago, like 3-4 days ago. And was like, hey, man, I'm thinking about coming through. Right? And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, just make, if you got your mask, you can come through. We can social distance and say what's up.
Yeah, yeah.
Dap you up, whatever. You know what I mean? And when he came, and I totally forgot he was even coming. But when he pulled up, like, I was like, hey, man, you got your mask, bro? Like,
he wasn't prepared.
He got his mask, but he sat 6 feet. Like, hey, man, we need to separate, man. I don't need you up on me. Hey, dap me up. Hey, we good. Keep on pushing. But I think a lot of guys are going to have to realize that even the casual get-together, like your neighbors.
Yeah. You got to be comfortable with
being alone,
with the awkward situation of you telling somebody, like, no.
But I can't
do it. It's not like, you understand, the guys on the team are going to have to sacrifice a lot of outside things they would normally do in order to buy in and have the goal of winning the championship this year. And so they're going to have to sacrifice. They're going to have to be disciplined. They have to say no and not do things that are harmless things in a normal situation. And they have to say, you know what, I can't do that now. And so it's you got to depend on your teammates to have that mentality and to do so. And I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of guys are going to struggle with that. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys are going to struggle with that mightily. And I think younger guys are going to struggle with that, especially because at least when you're a family man, you get to go home and there's like multiple people you can hang out with that are there, your kids, your wife, all that. You got young guys that are single. That's going to be an interesting,
scenario,
dynamic of you trying to figure out, all right, nah, you can't come through. You can't come through.
Because you can't even have.
I can't go here.
You can't have multiples lined up like you was doing at that age. Like if you single, you like, man.
You don't know where she's been, where they've been. Yeah. You don't know what's
and,
what.
And
it can cost me my job.
And here's my other question is I know the NFL is gonna make the fans sign the Rona waivers. But the bigger question is, if a player catches the Rona, right, are they gonna put them on a non-football injury list and try not to pay them?
That we're going to have to figure that out. They're going to have a conversation tomorrow with the NFLPA, and so we'll figure out kind of what the return of play is going to look like as far as those procedures. I don't think those rules have came out yet, but they're working through them right now. But that's going to be interesting to see if guys are going to be willing to tell the truth about places they've been or symptoms they have. That's, to me, I feel like you're asking a lot to believe that everybody is going to fall in line and do everything the right way. Now, Trap, I really believe the Astros are the best team in the American League. But there's a team that is built on and has the philosophy that is better than any other in the Major League in this abbreviated regular season. A team from the Bay is poised to make a long playoff run. Astros need to take note. We'll let you know who next. Final segment of the show today. You got me, Wade Smith, my guy Travis Johnson, filling in for Clint Sterner in the show. And I mentioned it before the break that there's a team out the Bay that I feel like is built perfectly to go on a run in the American League and give the Astros everything they want. And it's probably not the Bay team that you were thinking of when I first mentioned it. Trap said it during the break. He was like, are you talking about Oakland? I'm like, nah, I'm not talking about that Bay. I'm talking about Tampa Bay, talking about the Tampa Bay Rays. They're makeup of their roster and the philosophy and the way they approach things with the pitching staff, to me, is perfectly suited for what you need in an abbreviated season. 60 games. You have Blake Snell, Glasnow, of course, Charlie Morton, Torinos, Yarbrough. All these guys are starters. And then you got the middle relief guys that are used to going two or three innings easily. Castillo, guys like that. Like that bullpen and that pitching staff overall, they've been doing the three innings here, four innings there, pitching on back-to-backs or every other night. They're used to that style of play. And in a season that's only 60 games, you're now telling me there's going to be opportunities where we need to win this game. We are a game out, and we need to get this one done. So we'll pitch a guy that maybe pitched a day or two before, and he's going to be able to be successful because they're used to doing that there. I feel like the Tampa Bay Rays, along with they have some bats there that can get it done, and they've been in a playoff hunt over the past few years. I think this season and this particular iteration of Major League Baseball is perfect for the Tampa Bay Rays. Astros got to take note.
They need to take note. So that means you don't think they're ready then.
No, I don't think that ain't got nothing to do with being ready.
If the Astros
are in, if they wasn't ready, I wouldn't even be discussing them. I said like the Rays are going to run away.
The Yankees got to take note.
I said the Astros got to take note.
I mean, here's the thing is I'm not really, outside of when they had Dontrelle Willis I don't think I've ever been, I said, yeah, like the Tampa Bay Rays, I mean.
Dontrell Willis played for the Rays? I thought he played for the Marlins.
He played for the Marlins, but Dontrell played for the Rays at one point
as well.
After the Marlins, okay. Yeah.
That's when he left the Marlins, he just fell off. Next time I saw him, he was on TV talking about
it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Tampa Bay had, what's my boy that we got in L.A. now? With the beard.
I don't know who he got.
When did Georgia Tech?
I don't know. With the beard?
Yeah.
Oh,
he played for Boston, too.
What's his name? Third baseman?
No, the pitcher.
I thought the third baseman has a beard.
What's the third baseman's name? You talking about
what's his name?
Long Beach Poly, Justin Turner.
Okay, yeah, that's who I was
thinking.
You said beard, that was the first person I thought of the Dodgers.
And I'll remember in a second who I'm thinking about in a minute, but Tampa hasn't, like when you think about all the talent they've had in their bullpens. Mm-hmm. You think about all the talent they've had in the past, mm-hmm. and none of it ever pans out. So I understand they got a great, they got a great bullpen to get stuff done, but at the same time, they've had great bullpens before with decent bats, and nobody over there in St. Pete seems to be able to win games inside that little fake Fugazi dome of theirs.
Well, that's untrue, Trap, because they played against the Astros last year. They ran up against the eventual ALCS champions and lost. But they're in the thick of it. And I think about this. You mentioned about St. Pete, and that place never has fans. So them playing in front of nobody, it's going to be normal for them. It will be for a lot of teams. That's what I'm telling you. This Tampa Bay team, they have a lot of things going for them that other teams don't got. The pitching staff, the way that they do their rotation, is going for them. The fact that they're used to playing in front of 12 people, they got that going for them. Because these other teams, Astros, man, Houston fans being there thick. You know what I mean? They used to having a crowd. It's going to be weird for them playing baseball where you can hear a pin drop. And so I'm just saying, I see this Tampa Bay Rays team. I always want to call them the Devil Rays, but this Tampa Bay Rays team, and you look at some of the bats. David Price was there one time.
He
is in L.A. now.
Yeah, and they had David.
He didn't have any beard. What are you talking about?
David Price always had a little short beard.
That's a goatee.
Man, David Price would rock a beard, dog.
That's a goatee. That's a goatee.
Man, you tripping, dog. David Price.
Show me a picture.
Man, David Price.
Google
rocks
a picture. I ain't.
David Price rocks the beard, dog.
Look how thin that beard is.
Yeah, dog. When he was in Tampa, he had the beard, bro.
I missed that time.
Dog. But, I mean, you got to think about, they had David Price in his prime. I mean, fresh out of Wake Forest. I think he went to Wake Forest, if I remember correctly. No, he went to Vanderbilt.
David Price is going to be the reason why y'all don't win a World Series again this year.
Nah,
right?
Man, you don't want to bring him up.
No,
yeah.
Yandy Diaz, that bat
for Tampa.
But they got Hunter Renfro now.
They got Hunter Renfro?
Yeah, of course they got Kevin Kiermaier. Like they got bats. Austin Meadows, they got bats to go along with those pitchers. They're going to be in a situation that's very comfortable for them because they're used to not having fans. They got the pitching staff. I'm not talking about just the starters, but they got the middle relievers in the club. Listen, to me, that is the team to watch in the American League. I know the Yankees got all the names. They got all the big-name players. I feel like things are going to be a little awkward for them. They're not going to be. Have you ever been to a Yankee game that wasn't sold out? Have you ever seen it? I've watched it on TV. It's always sold out. That's like going to a Packers game, right? It's always sold out, right?
And I do enjoy going to the good Yankee game.
It's
going to
be 12 people there. And all the people there are going to be staff and personnel. It's not going to be actual fans for the Yankees. They're going to have to figure that out. They're going to have to get used to that, right? Well, while they're trying to get used to that, you could be losing ball games. And if you get on a slow start, you'll mess around and be a wild card team. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe not make it into the playoffs. So I'm just saying, Tampa Bay, y'all got to look out for them.
I'm looking at their roster again. I mean, of course, I see Oliver Drake, Diego Castillo, Jose Alvarado, Charlie Morton, of course. They do have a deep pitching rotation. When you look at the guys, they got Charlie Morton,
one of my favorite baseball players out
but
there.
But I mean, and
a favorite here in the city of Houston as well. Charlie Morton is leading the way.
And Yandy Diaz, of course, as far as infielders, he's pretty solid. I'm just going through this roster because I really hadn't paid them too much attention. At the end of the day, I look at them as they all bark and no bite. You know, I just because for years, from the time they had David Price, they always had pitching. They had pitching around him.
Yeah, they didn't have.
You know
any
what I'm saying? They ain't had no
then.
Bats.
They didn't have any
but
bats.
Then all of a sudden, when you started getting bats, what happened? The pitching fell off. So I'm not gonna believe until they finish. When they finish, I'll be glad to come on here and say, you know what, you did say what you didn't say, boy.
You was right when you said
what
you said.
You was right when you said what you said.
You on deck.
Hey, you on deck. We on deck.
You say you like baseball, don't you?
A room when Jesus is gonna bust up in the mortuary. You know, I gave you the TV version, right?
I like the way he did that because I was like, is he going to stop? Or is he going to keep going? Is Bridget ready?
But,
or is she not ready that button?
But the BET version is, I'm going to bust up in the mortuary.
Now, is that not the worst part of watching BET movies when it's like, bang, 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 bang. When they cut out stuff and they implement, like, this is not even close to being the same voice.
No. No.
And you watch a movie, you watch Friday, you watch All About the Benjamins, you watch all these different movies that are hilarious, and you put them on BET, and it's like, it's frustrating to watch the movie.
And here's the worst part.
What's that?
BET is on cable. So you can actually curse if you wanted to. Let it fly. And see, here's...
If I'm watching A&E,
they not pulling no punches.
They're going to let you have it.
You watch Yellowstone?
No, but that's going to be my next show. Ooh. I heard Yellowstone is hitting.
Kevin Costner.
Texting 713-572-4610. Do I need to start watching Yellowstone tonight or can I wait till the 4th of July weekend? Can I wait till the weekend to start or do I need to just get it right now?
It's in the middle of season 4 right now. Or season 3, whatever season it is.
I go in,
it's like
though,
3 episodes.
I'm going to go all the way in until I catch up. That's how me and my wife do. We find the show and we go all the way in.
Yellowstone
hit?
Me and the wife watch that stuff. It's busted, bro. Yellowstone's a monster.
Who are some of the people besides Kevin Costner that are in it?
That you would know?
That we would know, yeah.
Nobody. Nobody? You know what? You would know. You remember in the movie, I want to say, was it The Family That Prays with Sanaa Lathan?
Yes.
Remember the dude she was cheating with? The white dude, red hair?
I can't see his face, though.
Remember they ended up having a baby together? And
I'm
she
not sure.
But, I can't remember his name, but he's in that. You'll know him because he's done a lot of stuff. But yeah, he's in there. Outside of that, you probably won't know no other characters except for like Kevin Costner's. And then, matter of fact, your boy plays a young Kevin Costner. What's the guy from Glory Road? The coach from Glory Road.
I know you're talking about. I don't know his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
He plays a young Kevin Costner.
Okay.
When they flashback.
So they go flat, they flat, they go
flash
forward
back
and back
every now and then on certain situations.
Okay.
And yeah, he plays, but like it's, dog. And it's some of the most beautiful, like it makes me want to go to Montana.
If you tell me Travis Johnson wants to go to Montana off of watching the show, you said something there.
That's not my first place that
I'd be like Travis Johnson, Montana.
No, but
But
I've always heard like
Montana's amazing.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah,
amazing.
I've always heard like
great fishing,
great skiing, snowboarding.
Okay,
and I've been to Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
I love Jackson Hole. We went in February. It was amazing.
Oh yeah, I went
super hard. Loser blacks.
I went in high school. But
he is what you call a one-upper.
It wasn't even a one-upper. It was, I had rich friends. I was the poor kid.
You were the poor kid that hung around with
all the
rich kids.
That's the only reason why I knew how to do any
like,
of this
oh,
stuff.
This is what it's like to be rich.
Exactly what it's like.
Let me run this drill.
Let me run
this weight.
That was the only
I want to go to Jackson Hill, hole on my own.
I've never been back since then.
But you could if you wanted to.
I thought I almost died.
What happened?
He just was skiing and snowboarding, but that stuff is hard.
Is it hard, Bridget? Is snowboarding hard?
So I've been snowboarding since I was in fifth grade.
Oh.
So I'm impartial, but whenever I started, I wanted to ski so bad, and my dad's a snowboarder. He would not let me ski. He made me take lesson after lesson, made me stay on that snowboard. So now, I mean, I'm pretty good. I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty good.
Do you post videos on your social media?
Yeah, go check them out, dude.
What's your social media? Let the people know.
B_BridgetFalcone.
Okay.
B_BridgetFalcone.
Instagram. You'll see some wipeout.
Have you been to Vail?
I love Vail. A little pretentious for me.
It is.
So
it's a lot of money over there.
Yeah. I love Breckenridge. Breckenridge is where we've
been
a lot.
There.
too crowded. Don't go. Everybody goes there now for spring. Well, actually, I don't know how it's going to be this season.
Nobody will be there.
There's no snow.
There's no snow. I would, my thing, and I got to go back to, you know, not trying to be, you know, one upper, but it's just like going to high school where I went to high school.
Yeah.
Like, and going to school with the people I went to school with.
Yeah.
It was like, I learned to snowboard. I mean, I learned to ski. I mean, not ski, but I learned to surf, boogie board, all of that stuff, because it was like, hey, Trav, man, my parents are going, you know, we got it, like the Clausens. We got a house on the beach on 7th Ave over there in Newport going for the summer.
Was it Casey?
Yeah, Casey, Jimmy. Okay. Like, I grew up around
I was trying to remember what age group you fit in with.
So here,
with the brothers.
Here's the crazy part. Me and Casey were in the same grade, but Ricky, who's the middle brother, was actually a week and a half older than me, and he was a grade behind us.
How'd that happen?
Because they used to hold the boys back
a
year to be older. To be old, like how... And how they do here in Texas.
It's smart, though. Have you ever read the book, The Outliers?
No.
Just read that book. If babies that are born in September have a leg up over, like, people that are born in September have a leg up over everybody else when it comes to school and sports, academics, all that type of stuff, because they have matured further. They're usually 6 years old right as school starts.
Yeah.
Whereas other kids might not turn six until March or April or whatever. And so the way it works is, it's talking about in the book, like once you show potential, people, teachers, coaches, whatever, will flock to you, and they will try to coach you up, and you'll get more reps, and they'll pour into you because you've matured at an earlier stage. And once you continue to get better, they'll continue to coach you, and they'll be
like, oh, he's still young, you know.
Right. And so the late bloomers. I was a late bloomer. I was born in April.
Yeah, I was born in April. Yeah,
June.
We were both born in April.
So June.
You were born in June, and you went to school early. So you graduated at 17.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Graduated at 17. Yeah. So.
Were you mad at your parents about that?
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm a female, so it wasn't. I ran track. So I pretty much had everything developed already. Yeah. But so I was fine for that.
Yeah.
But I felt really bad for my brother, who is late July.
Oh, yeah.
And that was hard for him because he was a late bloomer and he was young.
And
so
he didn't grow until high school was over.
Exactly. So he played safety, and unfortunately he was just smaller than everybody. Yeah, just was. And now he's blossomed and gotten bigger. He's a freshman at A&M, actually going into sophomore year at A&M. So now he's nice and big. But like in high school, there's kids just, you know, trampling all over him.
Now he's nice and big, and it's kind of like, well, it's too late now.
Now he's in a frat.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I forgot what month little Clay Matthews is. But, like, Clay, when he was little, like, came out of high school a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when he got to college, after a year or two, he grew. You know, we used to have a kid, matter of fact, it's actually a little bit of trivia. Not really trivia, but he was on the team with, he was drafted by the Blue Jays, went to my high school, was Ryan Stromsburg. Well, his little brother, Pup, me and him was the same grade. Well, Pup was a June, July birthday.
Yeah.
He was 5'10", 5'11", the whole time. But everybody knew, like, man, Pup's brother plays for one brother plays defensive end linebacker for UCLA. The other one is a first baseman for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
The daddy's 6'5", and Pup is sitting here like 5'10".
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, and I think 2 months after he graduated, he had turned 18 and like shot up seven inches.
7 inches?
Yeah, that's like Milford. Wow. You remember Milford Brown, right? The big offensive line?
Yeah, yeah. Florida State.
Florida State. Drafted by the Texans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Milford graduated high school 5'9", 165 pounds.
What? 5'9", what?
165. Graduated high school. And was 6'5", 340 within the next 2.5 years.
Did he, like, take a year off of school before he got picked up by Florida State? How did that happen?
That's why he only played for us for 1 year. So...
Like Chester Pitts, like one of those situations?
No, it wasn't one of those situations. So when he left high school, he was a walk-on at Alabama State.
Yeah.
And was like, all right, I'm going to play receiver, walk on Alabama State. But when he started growing, he grew like that offseason and grew his whole first year in school where he was just a regular student, but technically was a walk-on.
Yeah.
Well, that started his clock. He then transfers to a junior college who then, while he's still growing, they redshirt him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They redshirt him because.
What was he playing when he first got there?
He playing receiver and linebacker when he first went to college.
The JUCO. Okay.
Yeah. So when he gets there, they redshirt him. He plays two JUCO years, right? Plays two JUCO years. We pick him up, sign him, thinking he's got two seasons left.
Yeah.
Well, technically, he only had one, and the only person who knew that was Steve Spurrier. So all of a sudden, when he's getting ready for the second year, which is 2002, to play, all of a sudden NCAA comes down and says he's not eligible. Well, that's how you end up going to the supplemental draft a couple weeks into the regular season.
Yeah.
Ends up being a third round pick supplemental by the Texans.
That is crazy, man. Yeah. I didn't know that about Milford Brown, man. I tell you what, man, it's been a good day, good show. Stay tuned for Texans All Access coming up next with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, 6 p.m. Stay tuned. They'll keep you dialed in on all things over at NRG and get us ready as we start this 2020 season, man. Had a lot to talk about in this show. MLB is back. We're going to be optimistic and hope. We're going to pray. We're going to wish that
we
get a full 60 games and we get a great playoff and nobody has to stop anything. And the NFL finishes the season, starts it, finishes it. We get back to play ball, man.
Yeah!
It's all about playing ball. So for Bridget, Tyler,
Bridget,
Trap, I'm Wade Smith, and it's always real, fellas.
Netflix and chill.